Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Tuesday, March 7th, 2017. I hate saying that. I just hate it. Good afternoon.
I find it hard to believe. I don't mind saying it. I still think, that can't be right. That's got to be a typo or some 2017. Are you kidding me?
Well, I'm going to quit when it's 2020. But 2020 has a nice ring to it. It's easy. 2020. Hey, it's 2020. Oh, Lord. I can remember sitting in, what class was I in? I think it was sixth grade, either third grade or sixth grade. Yeah, I know there's a big jump there, but it was one of those two grades. And I remember talking about the year 2000, and we had to, probably third grade, and we figured out how old we were going to be in the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And it was seemed like it was just, oh my gosh, it was eons away.
I know.
Just eons away. Light years away. And now here we are almost 20 years after when I had once thought that 2000 was eons away.
20 years after 2000. Okay, yeah, I thought you were telling me 20 years after third grade. I was going to say, no, I don't think so.
Well, no, I wouldn't want to be that either. But anyway, gold. You know, gold's not playing the game today. Nasty on gold, down 9.30 today at the New York spot price after market at $1,216.80. Silver was down 26 cents today at $17.59. Your platinum down 18 at $963. The white metals have really been hammered, and I just think the gold and silver are just getting a little bit of pressure overall from the whole sector. Plus, we also have the jobs report coming out on Friday. And it's one of the latest job reports releases, I think, since from January 2014. So I think we're getting pressure from that, along with the announcement that it's a pretty good bet that Yellen will increase rates. So I think you have all these little, nuances that are just coming together to affect the price of gold, and I think they will be gone after Friday. To be exact, because I think when she makes, you have the debt ceiling coming up and other things coming up, and I think with the rates, it all happens at once. So I think we're adjusting for that time right now. Palladium, 776. You have USDX up another 10 cents today at 101.79. Crude oil was down 7 cents at 53.13. And there was a little pressure on the markets today. We'll have to pull it up and see. You have the Dow 30 points to the downside at 20,924. The NASDAQ was down 15 at 58.33. And the S&P was down 6, 23.68. 10-year yield, 2.51%. Euro was down 9 cents. Europe, nothing going on in Europe or the Asian markets. They were fairly flat overnight. And today, the U.S. trade deficit jumped to a near five-year high in January, using oil prices, the rising oil prices, pushing up the import bill. And, of course, that all points to slower economic growth in the first quarter. The Commerce Department said today the trade gap increased 9.6%. to 48.5, and you have a lot of imports of cell phones, automobiles. This was the highest level since March of 2012, and when adjusted for inflation, you're looking at a deficit of $65.3 billion from $62 in December. So this was both the inflation-adjusted imports and the exports were the highest on record in January. The wider trade deficit suggests trade could, again, weigh on economic growth in the first quarter. The Atlanta Federal Reserve slashed its first quarter GDP estimate by 0.5% to 1.3. So, they don't think that the GDP, they don't think the economy is going that well either. So, We know that the growth in the first quarter was 1.9%. So
They've lowered it.
That's why I said the Atlantic
1.3.
Yeah, the Atlantic Federal Reserve slashed its first quarter GDP estimate by 0.5% to 1.3%. And also, that's a big drop when you look at the third quarter, when the economy grew at 3.5%. So,
it's a big drop. It's almost by two thirds. It's something like 60% drop since the third quarter of last year.
Which sort of defies the optimism of the, you know, that we see in the consumer confidence report and the stock market. Usually these numbers are quite high. You have people out there, they're doing things and so forth. And GDP should have been, you would think a little bit stronger. So it does show you that we're really not, you know, the numbers we see and you know, the illusion that they've created, we're just not dealing in a real economy. And you even had Barclays, they even paired their view of the first quarter GDP. So, the first quarter is not going to be very good. Imports of goods and services increased 2.3% to $240 billion in January. This is the highest since December of 2014. Imports, as I mentioned before, of cell phones and other household goods rose $1.0 billion. Automobiles hit a record high. Industrial supplies, materials, capital goods were also strong. Imports, and those gains, $41.4 billion worth of merchandise, and that was up over 5% from December. Let's see if there's anything else interesting in this. Exports to China dropped 13.4%. And the nation's trade deficit with Mexico fell 10% to its lowest level since July of 2015. Now, as I mentioned, the Labor Department is... report will come out on Friday. I think everyone is looking for about 190,000 jobs in February. That's from a Bloomberg survey of analysts. They're looking for hourly earnings that will likely climb 2.8% from a year earlier. That's average hourly earnings. So it would take a pretty severe miss for the Fed to hold off any rate increases next week. And as I mentioned before, this is the last time a jobs report was released so late was January of 2014. So, does that mean anything? No, but I went back and looked at the January 14th report, and it wasn't that good of a report. So we'll see. We'll see how it comes out. But I think everything is pretty much on hold till Friday. So you're going to see, you know, light trading throughout, I think, unless... barring, you know, some black swan comes flying by in the stock market.
What if it swims?
Could swim.
They're amphibious birds, you know. I don't even know if it's amphibious. If a bird can fly and stay in the water, is it an amphibian? Or amphibian was the water and the land. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to work on that one of these days to find out whether a bird is, whether a swan is an amphibian or what's the proper term for a duck, for a bird that flies and swims?
I don't think it would be amphibian. But
no, I don't either.
No.
Too much like a frog, that wouldn't be right.
Stock markets, we look at the numbers high. Here's another way of thinking about how far stocks have come in 9 years. Relative, and I think this is important, not because of, you know, how great they have come, but again, we're looking at other signs of, you know, just how dangerous the markets are at this point in time. And relative to balance in money market funds and cash among mutual funded managers, the value of global equities is the highest in almost two decades. Now, this is an observation by Ned Davis Research, which framed the comparison as an indication that cash is underweight. And another way of describing it is that equities have risen so much from the depths of the financial crisis that their value is blotting out everything else to an extent not seen since the dot-com bubble. The stocks are at a 20-year high against anything isn't hugely surprising considering the S&P index has closed at records 13 times this year. But it's a way of showing stocks are pretty stretched. It just means there's not a lot of cash to act as a shock absorber. So again, we're looking at these markets, or you know, that irrational, it's an exuberance, and I think we are at a point of irrational exuberance.
I don't know if we exactly are. I think part of what's happening is there are so few living, live men and women that are investing that irrational exuberance is not exactly what's happening anymore. We have institutions investing, and I think dominating the stock markets, and maybe dominating with computer algorithms and programs.
That's not true. I just reported on it last week that you're seeing the mom and pop people getting into these markets. The hedge funds, they're sitting back. They're pulling their money and they're sitting back waiting for things to happen. But mom
and when did mom and pop start to sign up? What I'm trying to get to is have they been joining for the past three years?
The election.
Okay, that's what I'm getting to.
The point is you do have, you have these mom and pops that are coming into these markets now, and that is irrational. Because
they are irrational, perhaps, but it's built on what may be computer manipulation, computer algorithms, institutions without mom and pop prior to the November election. And I don't know
that was multinational corporations buying back their own shares.
Yeah. All right.
Borrowing money.
Just the same, they have amplified the market. And the markets, it's one thing. The markets are supposed to be for price discovery. And what they have turned into is a mechanism for price manipulation. And when is that? How long can it continue? As long as the manipulation can continue, the markets are presumably going to go up. Because they're responding, they're not responding to the public to the same degree they have in the past. That's my suspicion. I don't know it to be true, but it takes a certain amount of emotion out of it, and instead it's running on algorithms. Is that true, or is it just a theory I have that is unwarranted?
Stage, I think what you're seeing is you're having these people getting into the market, just like we reported on before. Yes, previously did that. Yeah, you do have, institutional buyers and so forth. That is what has been, jarring
driving
markets
for years.
But then again, now the last phase of a bull market is when you get this irrational,
When the idiots sign up, it's time to bail.
That's the whole point. And when you have so little cash on the sidelines, people is showing that people are investing, their cash, they're not keeping as much cash as they should. And perhaps when the market reverses itself, they're going to be, they're going to lose a lot more than what they thought they,
Well, one of the points is if people have less cash on the sidelines, then presumably there's less cash to go into the market. All right.
It's already
in
there.
But in the event that there is a beginning of a collapse,
it's called margin calls,
right?
Yeah.
A correction. All right. And it turns out people don't have enough other people who might be interested in buying. Market falls 5%, for example. People who might be interested in jumping in there, if they don't have the cash to move, they're not going to be able to, which will perhaps contribute to the market falling from 5% down to maybe 10%, and so on. If there's not enough cash to buy, the price has got to fall.
Well, the price is,
which would only amplify the problem. If the market is correcting and there's not enough cash around.
Yeah, once it starts falling, you get all these margin calls begin to kick in and so forth. And, it just continues. But
we'll watch and see. I mean, it's one of these things, again, we live in interesting times. Fragile times. The big thing about this is there is no objective reality that can be seen to support record highs in the stock markets. And things are happening. And when I say objective reality, in a classic market sense,
not the last 3,000 points that went up since November. I mean, that's, and for predictions of, 30,000, 31,000, there's a lot of people out there who believe it.
No, no, no.
But and what has happened in order to generate that type of a rise? You know, nothing. But there is a G20 meeting next week in Germany. It's being held the 17th and the 18th, and it'll be the first one that Mnuchin will be presenting himself in the United States. And we've often heard Mr. Trump blast Beijing for manipulating their currency, making it cheaper. And but the People's Bank of China has been intervening to cushion some of the declines. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that meeting, if anything ever comes out of any of these meetings. But so, and there has been a mixed message, because the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, he has signaled no urgency to designate China as a currency manipulator.
I don't think you can. I don't think you can legitimately. You can do it. We can call them.
So if you join the IMF, but you can't.
No, the point is, again, I'm still hooked. I'm still fixated on this notion of the teeter-totter, where the world reserve currency sits on one end and the remainder of the fiat currency sit on the other end. And when those other currencies average go down, the dollar on the other end of the has to go up, meaning increase in value and deflate. As long as those currencies, those countries are fighting for exports and diminishing their own currency and subjecting them to inflation, the dollar has to go up. And it's not a function of manipulation per se. It's a function of this relationship where the dollar is supposed to be the world reserve currency. It's the primary world reserve. It used to be the world reserve currency. Now it's the primary world reserve currency, but there's a couple others that are filling that function to some degree. But just the same, dollar sitting on the other end of that teeter-totter. It's not manipulation in the usual sense of the word. It's because we're caught in this world reserve currency thing, and in my opinion, the only way we're going to get out of this is we're going to have to abandon the world reserve currency status. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, and it's not going to happen anytime soon, but just the same, if we really want a weaker dollar, we have to get off the world reserve currency in order to...
Well, they're going to have to agree on some sort of a deal as part of the negotiations on how to best to reshape trade. And so,
do you think that's even possible?
I wouldn't count on it.
No, I don't think so either. How are you going to reshape trade? It's not happening. We're going to take a break. We'll talk more about trade when we return on Financial Survival. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to talk briefly about South Korea. And, you know, we often talk, and China, we often talk about, you know, China with its billions of people. Will they ever have a revolution against the government and so forth? How much control does the government really have on their people and so forth? And I thought this was interesting because South Korea has decided to host the U.S. THAAD missile defense system. And China views the deployment as a security threat, and they've begun to discourage tourists from taking Korean vacations. Now, on the resort island of Jeju, off the southern tip of the Korean peninsula, about 85% of the foreign visitors came from China. So these businesses are really beginning to feel the effect from this diplomatic strain between South Korea and China. And they saw about a 20% decline in Chinese tourists so far this year from various business owners and so forth. And this is something the business owner says, there's nothing we can fix on our own. And the worst is to come. The China National Tourism Administration ordered travel agents to stop selling tour packages to South Korea starting March 15th. This is according to the state-run Korea Tourism Organization. Jeju received almost 3.1 million Chinese visitors last year. This will strike a fatal blow to bus rental companies, hotels, travel agencies, along with the various tourist attractions. About over 100,000 Chinese tourists have canceled trips to Jeju, beginning March 15th. And so they are really beginning to have an impact on South Korea's businesses. And this is what the China government can do if you rub them the wrong way. So they have a lot of power. Now, what's interesting, I said, Alan, during the break, they're not bugging the U.S. on this. You know, they're going after South Korea because they've accepted the U.S. missile system, and we know that North Korea is testing these missiles pretty close to Japan. You know, so that might be the problem China is having, because it does protect not only South Korea but also Japan. So I don't know, it's kind of interesting. And they're not messing with the U.S. yet, but I mean,
I think they will.
Not yet. We haven't ticked them off enough yet. but they could also have more pressure in Korean cars, mobile phones, chemicals. So a lot of things.
See, there's even yeah, I get that. But one of the things, where are these Chinese tourists going to go if they're not going to South Korea? They're not going to completely abandon their ideas about vacations. I mean, you have to wonder.
My point is South Korea. They can go anywhere they want.
Well, I understand. They might go into Hawaii before this is all over. It's hard to say. But I have to wonder are they really trying to express their anger at South Korea for installing a new missile system, or to what extent does this have to do with an outflow of capital from China? They've been complaining about that for at least 6 months, maybe more. They are trying to stop Chinese people from taking capital out of China to foreign countries. I wonder how many of these people went on vacation and stuffed an extra you know, a couple hundred thousand yuan into their briefcase or whatever to go to South Korea. And I don't know that any did, but it's simply, what are they really up to? They're blaming the... Does the missile system really offend China, or does the missile system, is it a convenient excuse where they don't have to admit we're doing this because of the money, we're doing it because of the military?
Well, I think, the system does counter a potential North Korean attack. But we know China has basically stopped selling coal to North Korea, you know, for their behavior and so forth. Mm-hmm. So now they're supporting, with being against the system. So, I think the Chinese people are fairly obedient.
Yep.
So they will do what they're told, and I don't see them, very many of them, moving. Hey, you move currency out of the country and they find out, they kill you. You die for it. So I'm not so sure it's that. But
but they've been moving money out of they're part of China's concern with Bitcoin.
They allow you to move
wealth to foreign countries.
They allow you to move what they want you to move.
Well, I wouldn't say what they want you to move. There is a certain amount of tolerance, but I don't think they want any of it leaving because it reduces their money supply. It tends to push prices upward and the rest of that. Government wants prices downward. I don't know. It's one of these things where, what are they really doing? You can see they're doing something, but you wind up wondering, are they doing this because for the reasons they've implied, or they're doing it because of conventional wisdom, or do they have an ulterior motive that hasn't been named yet, at least not publicly?
Well, it just seems like it's not today, but in the near future, it's another hot spot.
Oh yeah,
and certainly with the North Korean government firing off how many missiles, in the past week or month,
they fired off four of them.
But I think the total is six. I think in the past month or something. So a couple
weeks
ago, they
fire off another dozen, they'll probably be out. They won't have any more.
Maybe, but so I don't know. It's again, this is something that can come from left field. And again, if these things were going on without a gold manipulated market, gold would be people would be backing up their trucks to be buying gold and silver.
The Shanghai Gold Exchange, just saw an article on it today. It says for the Shanghai Gold benchmark price or Shanghai Gold Fix is the result of an auction held twice daily on trading days by the Shanghai Gold Exchange at 10:15 and 2:15 p.m., 10:15 a.m., 2:15 p.m., Beijing time, intended to represent a price where supply and demand reach a balance. The benchmark is quoted at in renminbi per gram, and based on the auction of physical lots of 1 kilogram of gold with a purity of 99.99% or higher, to be delivered in the form of standard gold ingots to certified SGE, Shanghai Gold Exchange, vault facilities. Well, the point of this is the calculation, just looking at the most recent calculation earlier today, as of the AM price was $1,247. All right, it was actually $46.94, but say for $1,247 in China per ounce, all right, on the Shanghai Gold Exchange compared to $1,216 for U.S. price, which indicated that the Shanghai Gold Exchange price is about $31, 2.5% higher than the U.S. markets, which is interesting. It's not earth-shaking, but it's interesting. It's the kind of thing where you're beginning to see a separation, a diversion. The U.S. markets are based on paper gold. Shanghai market is based on physical gold. They're beginning to show a little bit better price or higher price. And I think over time, people who want to sell their gold are going to be more interested in selling it onto the, other things being equal. You'd have to make allowances for moving and whatever. There's other costs involved, but there's going to be a time when people who wanted to sell their physical gold might be more interested in selling on the Shanghai Gold Exchange, where they get a higher price, than selling on the U.S. markets, where they get a paper price that is lower, because it doesn't really reflect physical gold.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's another thing.
Is there a question?
I'm just becoming. We were talking about this earlier. Melody terrorizes me every April 1st when we have a program.
Here we go again.
With April Fool. And we're getting close to that. And even though April Fool's April 1st, it's not going to be on a radio day. I think it's a Saturday. So we won't be doing a program on April 1st. So theoretically, I shouldn't have to worry about this. But I am worried. Understand, Melody has fooled me for two or three consecutive years. And now I am paranoid about April 1st. And so I'm going to be getting ready for March 31st. Does March have 31? Melody? 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31, except for February. March does have 31.
That's correct.
I'm going to be watching for the 31st. I'm going to be watching for April 3rd, which I think is Monday. Melody will not let this opportunity to continue to traumatize me. She's become a terrorist, you understand?
Al,
I called the government and put in a report that she's threatening to harass me on April 1st with an April Fool's joke. And I think something has to be done about this. But in any case, I'm getting increasingly a little bit more worried every day as we get closer.
You're just an easy mark, Al.
That's probably true.
But you know what? There's some other headlines talking about China and North Korea. And I mean, they're, you know, he made the announcement they're training for a strike on U.S. bases. He's pledging actual war. That missile defense system did arrive in South Korea. Beijing is warns of consequences. It is heating up, you know, over in that area. China's space rockets to launch from planes. I mean, it's just getting crazy. And yet, what, the stock market's down 30 lousy points. You had WikiLeaks, and you know, yeah, I think with what WikiLeaks released during the election was a big deal. But so much of their stuff, I remember the first release of information from WikiLeaks, it's like, well, what's new about it? We already know all this stuff, so, you know, well, it's no shocker to us if you listen to alternative news programs and or you do, you know, news pro, or you're on the radio and follow this stuff as you have to when you sell gold and silver, because there's a big part of it that is directly related to gold and silver. But there was another announcement that they're going to release some downloads on the CIA, supposedly more significant than Snowden, what his documents provided. So
it is one of those things where been there, done that, and it's amazing how quickly people can simply lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, serious disasters, and it's old news in a relatively short period of time. Now, this business with WikiLeaks, they are revealing information that in theory could get people in government and put them in prison. Huh? This is serious business, and yet, as a people, we kind of heard about it. Yeah, I heard about it, but what time does the football game or the basketball game or the baseball game come on?
Well, what happened to the DNC? You know, when they were hacked into, you had, what's her name, Wasserman or...
Debbie
Schultz,
Wasserman?
Deborah Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah.
I mean, they were helping Sanders. They were giving Clinton questions during the debates.
I understand.
And it's like, what happens? You know, that we'll step down and, you know, they get jobs with someone else. I mean, it's like, there's just no one is accountable for anything.
I know.
Anymore.
You know, but it's one of those things, is that because no one is accountable in the sense that there's only a handful of people who should be accountable, or are there so many crooks running around that every time you point at one, there's three more over in the other direction, you point at them, and then there's five more in another direction, and there's so many crooks, do we even pay any attention anymore? And if that were true, what does it say about the moral fabric of the country? And I don't just mean from the perspective of whether we're going to church or not. I am inclined to believe that without a solid moral foundation, we're not going to be prosperous. I think it's one of the essential ingredients to prosperity. You've got to run your business as a reasonable and honorable man. And I know that is perhaps an untenable idea. But just there's got to be at least some lip service paid. And right now, everybody is just kind of belly up to the trough and get yours.
You know what, Al? Even if they came out and said, you know what, I did wrong. If they would just admit it.
Yeah.
But they, and I can't remember Clinton's aide that was married to Wiener, mm-hmm. that showed his Wiener all over the internet.
I mean, Obadan or like, something like that. I don't remember her name right now.
Pardon?
Obadan or something like that. I can't remember her name. Either.
But I mean, it's just like, just say it. It just amazes me. And everybody, no one cares.
Well, people don't care, perhaps because there's already another crook on the horizon. We've got somebody else to focus on who has done something wrong, and it distracts us from the last crook. And the crooks are popping up like, you go to one of these carnival arcades where they used to have they have a rifle and you can shoot at the targets that are jumping up and popping and rolling around or that sort of thing. I don't know, maybe there's just too many targets and we lose interest. We can only focus on one or two targets at a time and we're getting 50 or 100. I'm not sure that's true, but it crosses my mind. Too many crooks spoil the soup, Melody.
Perhaps.
See that? Do you get that? You get that play? Was it instead of too many cooks?
Yes,
too many crooks. Do you get that?
I think we all got that, Al.
All right. Well, we could take a survey.
I think we all got that.
We could take a survey and see. Oh, okay.
And before we want to go to break, this is totally off the topic. I just want to say I want to thank everyone for listening to the program. I received a call this morning from someone who started purchasing with discount back in 95, 96. And he says he doesn't miss the program at all. And if he misses it during the day, that, he listens to it in the program in the morning. And I told him, I says, sometimes he says, he says, I just wanted you to know that. And I want to thank him again for his call because, sometimes we forget as hosts on radio programs, sometimes we don't realize that we have so many listeners out there. And we probably don't thank you enough for your support and for listening. And it really means a lot. And I am truly blessed to be able to have the platform,
mm-hmm.
and it's humbling, and I think commercials are hearing, and it's a good thing. So I can be quiet, Al.
Okay.
Thank you, folks.
All right, we'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just got an email in, and have you been hearing much concerning the U.S. federal government to reach the debt limit soon, maybe by about March? Yes, they have to address it. March 15th is the day, and I've been talking about it for a long time.
Wrote about it in this week's issue of the...
I've been talking about it for a long time, that they're going to have to come to issues come March, when I was making my predictions a year ago. And
well, they're going to begin to see this, but they're not going to. They're going to be pointing fingers. I don't expect to see anything dramatic happen on March 15th, even though that's the end of the line. That's when they say, "Oh my gosh, we can't go deeper into debt. What will we do? The sky is falling."
They're just going to raise.
Yeah, I know, but how soon? I'm guessing it'd be in the summer.
The reason that there's an issue with this is because it's a topic that has to be discussed.
Sooner or later.
And I think people will, you know, really, plus you have other things going on at the same time. You have the rate increase, you have that, you have Brexit, you have all these other elections in these European nations. And hey, you know, we've talked about Marine Le Pen. She says in France, she wins, she's pulling France immediately out of the European Union. She's ahead to win. Sarkozy came out and says, you know, now they're beginning to feel a little bit of pressure, just like those 16 presidential candidates did with Trump. Oh, now mm-hmm. we're beginning to see a little more pressure. Maybe we need to start rethinking this and find out why she's getting ahead of everyone and try to counteract her win. But you've got a handful of countries over there that have these elections and the populists or nationalists are leading. They don't, you know, Merkel. They don't like this immigration. They don't like these refugees coming into their countries. They're destroying their countries.
Yep.
You have these terrorist attacks. You have hundreds of people that have been killed. Why would you want to continue with the same type of government that allows this to happen? You know, why does a government allow areas in a country where you can't even go into? The police don't even go into.
No-go zones.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think people are tired. I mean, we even have some of those here in the States. It's like, well, how do they come about?
Yeah, it's just insane. It's a betrayal.
It
it's treason by the government. It is evidence that the government is working to destroy this nation rather than preserve it and or make it prosperous. They're trying to take us down. It's not an accident they're bringing Muslims into this country who will not assimilate. It's not an accident that they're bringing Mexicans into this country who will not really assimilate. Some will over time and the rest of that. But what they're trying to do is balkanize this country. This country is the only one that can really stop the New World Order. And the New World Order needs to destroy this country and reduce it, even if it's broken down into regions. And some people talk about that as a realistic possibility in the same sense that the former Soviet Union, they had a collapse in 1990 and they wound up breaking back down into their component states and or regions. But they broke the Soviet Union and now and it was suddenly less of a threat. Right? If the United States can be divided, fine. This is just a divide-and-conquer strategy. And your government, ladies and gentlemen, is doing this. They're doing it intentionally. They're doing it. They know it aggravates people. They know it's wrong. They're doing it anyway. They don't care. They have a different agenda. They're not out to help you. They're not out to help me or Melody or the upper class or the middle class and really even the lower classes. They're not out to help anybody. They're out. They are moving to try to install a new world order, one world government, blah, blah, blah. And you can't have one world government without destroying national governments and reducing them to the status of simply administrative agencies for the New World Order. There's no proviso in the Constitution for moving us into the New World Order. There's no proviso for government making accommodations with some sort of a world government or promoting it. That's not in there. We don't have any of that. It's all unconstitutional insofar as it ultimately seeks to destroy this nation. They aren't going to admit that, but that's what it comes down to. There won't be a New World Order and a United States of America that exist at the simultaneously, exist at the same time. It won't happen. There's going to be a New World Order. There is not going to be a United States of America, at least not in a political sense. I don't know. You look at it and it's frustrating, it's irritating, it's troubling, and trying to find people in government who even want to deal with the problem. And the problem is not the Muslims. The problem is not the illegal aliens that are coming up here from Mexico. The problem is the people in Washington, D.C. who refuse to protect this country from invasion by illegal aliens or people that aren't going to assimilate. They just say, oh, everybody, come on down in here. They're trying to balkanize this country. They're going to try to hurt this country, and they get away with it as long as we put up with it. It may be that people who support Trump are of a mindset that they're willing to do something about this, and maybe we're going to see a change. But we haven't seen it yet, except in the sense that Trump has taken office.
Well, and, you know, there's always that encouragement that, you know, we are going to see change and so forth. I was reading an article by the GE, General Electric CEO, and he talks about globalization. He says, the global elite, he says, they're probably history. He says, but global trade and globalization is going to continue. And I believe that. I think we're at a point in time, all these trade agreements will be rewritten. Mr. Trump pulled us out of the Trans-Pacific trade agreement. But there's also one going on with Europe. I'm not sure if he pulled us out of that one or not. But they're going to be rewritten, updated, which they should be. Times do change, and these agreements. Now, our Constitution shouldn't be updated, but these trade agreements should. So my question is, have we become too big to the point where there's so many people that we need to keep this global trade, this globalization going in order to supply standard of living to people?
I don't think we do. I think there's evidence to support the contention that we really don't need global trade. And the evidence is post-World War II Japan, which had been devastated by World War II. They'd been nuked and they'd been struck by two atomic weapons. They were in terrible condition, and they built themselves up to where they were the number two economy in the world. And they built themselves up largely on the basis, or at least significantly on the basis of tariffs.
But they were
destroyed.
It was
very difficult to sell.
But Al, they were destroyed first.
Well, I get that. But I'm still saying within a relatively short period of time, they rose up out of the... Well, with the help of the United States, but not with the help of global free trade. They sold their goods, but they didn't import much. It was very difficult to sell your product into Japan, meaning the tariffs worked. They were not destructive for Japan at the time they were being applied. It was, I think, if I understand correctly, they were pressured to reduce their tariffs eventually and allow other people to trade in their country. And I won't argue that that's the reason that Japan went into its 20-year recession now. But it was perhaps a contributing factor. Some people say, oh, tariffs are terrible. It worked for Japan, and they worked in my lifetime. This isn't something that took place in ancient history. It worked in my lifetime, and it's evidence. The idea that we must be involved in global free trade is a presumption, and I don't see that it's necessarily true. Why, if I were a manufacturer, why do I have to sell my product in Peking? Why can't I just sell it up in South Dakota or California or Maine or Illinois or Florida? This is a wonderful market right here. It's probably the best market in the whole world, and it's ours if we care to claim it. And in the name of global free trade, we've said, no, everybody, you can all sell your stuff here. Well, what's been one of the consequences? We have lost employment for the American people. We've lost prosperity for the American people. Some people would argue, some people have argued that the standard of living hasn't really increased in this country since 1970s, which is perhaps a reflection of globalization, perhaps a reflection of a pure fiat currency, or both of them. I don't know which one is primarily responsible. I say the fiat currency has more to do with it than globalization.
I think the standard of living has increased, but I think our purchasing power has not increased. But, I mean, hey, in 1970, people didn't have four cars and three TVs and paying cell phones and paying $1,000 for cell phones.
Yeah, but it may be that some people have that, but a lot of people, there is great wealth inequality. All right. There's a situation
where everybody had a piece of the pie
back in the 1950s and 60s. Not everybody, but a lot of people did. It was a stronger middle class. Now we have a strong elite. Middle class is being eroded away, disappeared, reduced down. Many of them are being fallen into lower classes.
Reports after reports showing that people in the poverty levels have two TVs, have cars, new cars.
Yeah, but that's the ones they stole.
Cell phones.
No, cell phones.
They have a pretty nice living for being in poverty.
Television isn't that expensive. It's not like high tech or something.
It doesn't matter, Al. If you don't have the money, if you're in that lower bracket, a $300 television is expensive.
Well, they count.
So, it's all relative to whatever level you're at.
Still.
So, they still have, but if they get it, they have it from government assistance. It's how they obtain it. They obtain it through, the federal food program and all the other subsidies they get, that enables them to spend whatever the money they get and have a decent, so if you took away the government standards, the government subsidies, they wouldn't be in a very good position.
And sooner or later, the subsidies are going to be taken away.
Yeah.
Just because the government can't afford the debt
it has now,
and it won't be able to pay. Future debt is supposed to be continue to rise and rise and rise. And we're going to get to a point where somebody finally has to say, look, the emperor is nude. All right, he allegedly has all these fine clothes, but the truth is he's walking around the nude, and everybody's, oh, look how rich he is. No, he's not. We got a big problem. Our government is the biggest debtor in the world, right? You can take little countries that have almost next to nothing, right? And they really have more than our government does. Our government has power and it has credit, but in terms of having real wealth, insofar as it's the biggest debtor in the world, I guarantee you, it's not really wealthy. It's not. It's more illusion right now than it is genuine wealth and or genuine power. I don't mean the power is going to disappear. The momentum in these nations is not like the momentum and the time frame for people. If I go broke, I go broke right now. If the government goes broke, it may not be apparent for 20 years. But that's assuming it went broke today. What if it went broke in 1971? Isn't that what it was all about when they said we're going to stop paying our debts we're going to stop redeeming dollars held by foreign people with gold? They admitted they were insolvent. Our government has been insolvent since 1971. And people, you could go back further than that if you wanted to. You could go back to 68 when they stopped redeeming any silver certificates with silver domestically. Go back to 33 when they pulled the gold out of domestic circulation. This has been something that's been building. They've been cooking the frogs, and you and I are among the frogs. We've been cooked. Right? They've snuck up on this, but we're coming to a point where the frogs are going to realize, this water is getting awfully hot. And they're going to want to know, why is the water so hot in the frog pond? And the government is not going to be able to explain it to the frogs that will just give you an extra good bath. Now, you're not getting an extra good bath. You're getting cooked. And people are going to find this out. They're going to begin to realize it. How will government explain what's been happening? We are coming to a moment when the problem will not simply be maybe we lose the fiat currency. The problem will be that the government's going to have to explain to the public that we've been robbing you for the last several decades. It's not just about, the fiat currency failed. It's about, how did we get a fiat currency in the first place? Constitution says gold and silver coin in Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1. Where is it? Why don't we have it? What does it mean? Why did you fool us? Why did you deceive us? Why didn't you tell us the truth? And the government, some of them are going to have to actually come up with an answer to those questions. And they're not going to have an answer that's going to be palatable to the people. So, well, we needed to fool you people because, well, we needed to make a lot of money for ourselves. And if you people lost, that was too bad for you. This nation has gone from the most powerful nation on earth to something that is fragile. And it hasn't happened simply because the American people have voted for bad things. It's happened because we've been ignorant, we've been trusting, and the government has taken advantage of our ignorance and our trust, and they have pushed us into a position that's now vulnerable for everybody. And if and when we really do have some sort of a correction, a crash, whatever, how is government going to explain this? Somebody's going to get blamed. They'll point a finger at somebody. And I guarantee whoever gets blamed probably won't be the people who are actually responsible. We are coming to the end of the program because we're about out of time, Melody. So we need to thank all the people for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you and me and Todd the producer and Melody. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.